Inside your worship guides, you'll find that we have a new set of message notes. We're going to begin a new series today, but we're going to jump over to the following week to come back to this series, because next week I want to talk about the power of the risen Christ. So I hope that you have some unchurched, unsaved friends that you're thinking about bringing. We have seating for them. And if you know someone who's been hurt at another church, that this would be a sweet time for them to come and to sense the love of Christ through so many of you, if you would bring them to be in worship of our Lord Jesus next time. During my DPE this morning, I came across this song that I wanted to share with you this morning before we jump into this new series. It comes from Matthew 21 and verse 9. And here is our Lord Jesus. And it says, Jesus was in the center of the procession. It is that triumphal entry. He is coming not as a general before his armies on a white thoroughbred steed of some kind. He's coming humbly, sitting on the colt of a donkey. And he's in the midst of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heavens." And as we've been singing this morning so often in those musical prayers that we've offered up to him, Hosanna, Hosanna. When the Hebrew spoke these words, Hosanna, he or she was crying out for divine intervention. In this case, as they were watching Yeshua HaMashiach coming into Jerusalem, they were crying out to be delivered from Rome. But as the Christian raises up the same term, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, we are saying to him, praise, praise, praise to the God that has demonstrated his love for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, for those of you who are new with us, or new with me at any rate, as the teacher up here, there are three questions that you see at the top of your message notes. These are three essential questions. They are questions that I encourage you to ask of yourself as we go through each morning lesson from the Word of God. As you answer these questions, you will find that you will be applying them. And as you apply them, your life is going to wonderfully change. It's going to grow in the different graces of our Lord Jesus Christ that he extends to you. So this morning is a new message that we're looking at. Father God's promises to generous people. And if there is another church in the San Fernando Valley that is truly, I'm not talking about having the big number of with a dollar signed after it, but those who are filled with generosity of their time, their talent, their spiritual gift mix, the treasure that our Heavenly Father has afforded people in his family, it will be found here in the midst of you all. So what we're looking at in terms of generosity is, as I will say a couple of times this morning, we're looking to be imitators of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is an imitator of his Father, Father God, Abba. So the Holy Spirit enjoys very much helping us to imitate the very one that asked him to come into the world so that we would not be left as orphans when he completed his work upon that cross. So looking at your notes, true statement, God the Holy Spirit has more promises in the Bible about giving than anything else. To give of your time. Time is a tremendous investment. It's something you can never get back. I'm going to be 77 next month. I can't get back those 76 years. That time of investment has been a good thing for me. I don't have much by way of being in the bank of America or Chase, but have been making weekly, sometimes daily deposits in the bank of heaven. And that's going to reap great profits in the end. And even now, as one is here. So we invest our time. When you were born, just as you're going to be celebrating the coming birth of a little girl to Will and Megan right today. Yes, they're sitting in the back. As you celebrate this little one's coming into the world, when she is born, she will be born with talents that are going to come from the chromosomes of her father and her mother. She's also going to be developing skills as she watches her mom around the house, as she watches her mom at work, as she watches her dad. She will begin to develop skills. And then, as so many of us were praying even this morning, that she is going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ early in her life, and that she will respond to his favor upon her and receive that wonderful gift of faith and receive him into her life as her master and her savior. And at that very moment, excuse me, she will receive another set of gifts, and that is her spiritual gift mix that she will use for the glory of her Lord and her Savior. She will use it in the midst of, should her mom and dad still be a part of GHCC at that time, she will be using them here with her grandfather and her grandmother, Barbara and Chris. We will watch her. Even as this coming Good Friday, we have a young lady who is going to receive communion for the very first time. And we are going to make much of the decision that she has made to follow the Lord Jesus Christ that night. So along with these things, then there is also the treasure that we have. Every penny of it has been provided you and me by our wonderful Papa, our Daddy in heaven, Abba Father. Everything we have, he has provided us. So Father God's promises, we're going to look at them for generous people. The question that we have before us here is about these promises. Look at your notes. Because Abba Father is a giver, because he is a giver, he is generous with his kids. He is generous with those who imitate him. Abba Father is a giver, and he wants us to imitate him. Would you say with me, Abba Father is a giver? Abba Father is a giver. Now say, he wants me to imitate him. He wants me to imitate him. and all things that he has demonstrated here from this love letter that he has given us. He has taught us that everything in here is there for our teaching, for our reproof, for our correction, that we would walk in righteousness, imitating him, employing those gifts that he gave us at the moment we received his Son as our Lord and Savior. The spiritual gifts, these along with the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't ask us to do anything in the Word of God that he doesn't provide us the ability through God the Holy Spirit to accomplish. He is so very good to us. So because Abba Father is a giver, he wants us to imitate him. Everything we have in life is because Abba is generous. He is magnanimous in his giving. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The challenge and blessing here before you in the notes: generous giving is hard to do. I think we can all agree with that, except maybe those of you who are given the wonderful spiritual gift of giving. Generous giving is hard to do. It challenges our selfishness. That's your fill-in. It challenges our selfishness. It challenges our self-promotion. It challenges the unholy trinity that you're familiar with. Me, myself, and I. So Abba Father rewards us when we do it. He rewards us. That is to say, he cares for us. That is to say that he gives us recompense because we are generous and imitating him. If you go and read on Google their description of a reward, they're talking about you hit the jackpot. You not only hit the jackpot, but a treasure trove. Our Heavenly Father is so wonderfully giving to us. Now, I'm not talking about filling up your bank account or anything like that. He may do that. There are those of his kids that he has made very wealthy in terms of property and things. Most of us have received his characteristics where we can come alongside and speak into the life of someone to show them hope, optimism, give them reason to be positive about those things that they're facing, because he is with them, as we have learned. He never deserts us. He is with us always, even to the end of the age, the end of eternity. He is such a great and awesome God. One message series can't possibly encompass the hundreds of promises that our Heavenly Father has for us. But I've selected 9 of such things to share with you this week and the week after next. So here are 9 rewards Father God promises to those who live generous lives, those who imitate him, who are his kids. So the first reward: Father God promises good things will happen to you. Father God promises good things will happen to you. Where you see the word you, do yourself the favor and write in your first name. Father God promises to do good things that are going to happen to you. Would you say that aloud with me? Father God is going to do good things for me, all right? He's going to do these things because of who he is, not because of who and what we do. It's his nature to do these things. He is a loving God as we have come to meet him. He has sought our best, our highest and greatest good, and at his expense. In Psalm 112, verse 5, David says, "All goes well for the generous man." If you would like to put the word woman in there, ladies, you can do that. All goes well for the generous man or woman, that is the magnanimous, the abundant, the open-handed man or woman. All goes well for the generous man who conducts his or her business fairly. So generosity unlocks the key to Abba Father's blessings in your life. Let me say that again. Generosity on your part towards others and towards him is going to unlock blessings in your life. The second reward. Father God promises your children will be blessed. He promises that I extended out to, in the principle, your grandchildren can be blessed, your nieces, your nephews. If you demonstrate that you are a generous person who is a child of the Most High God, and you are imitating the Lord Jesus himself by these actions of generosity. Father God promises your children will be blessed. Say that with me. Father God promises your children will be blessed. The point is when you, a man or woman, boy or girl, are generous, others, including yourself, will get blessed. Get it? Good. All right. Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 and 8. If among you, Moses says, but bear in mind, Moses is under being inspired by God the Holy Spirit. Moses spoke to the people of God then, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and I this morning. This is the living, active Word of God. He says, if among you one of your brothers should become poor, are we listening? If among us, one of our brothers or sisters, for that matter, should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother. You have, and this is what we see the American church by and large doing, not making a fist, just protecting, thinking that what they have belongs to them, when it is our Heavenly Father who has given us all things. But you shall open your hand to him or her and lend him sufficient for his or her need. Not greed, but need. Whatever it may be. So being tight-fisted means that you or myself, should I find myself doing this, I'm not trusting. I'm not trusting our Heavenly Father to take care of me. I'm not trusting him to bless. In Psalm 37, verse 26, he is ever lending generously. The godly are always lending generously. Why wouldn't they? Because God is always wanting to pass along to them blessing. He meets our needs. So in trusting him, in enjoying him and our deep personal experiences with him during that gnosko time, that going deeper in intimacy with him, we find ourselves, or should find ourselves, trusting him and therefore having hearts that are open. If we can give, we give. There have been times that Kathy and I could not come alongside and help the need because the need was greater than we could give. But you know, I'm not as dumb as I look. I would go to one of you or a couple of you and ask you to join with Kathy and me in coming alongside this brother or this sister, and then we would take care of them. Isn't that a novel idea? Isn't that acting a lot like the Lord Jesus Christ? We humbly come alongside and help. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. And his children become a blessing. As most of you know, before Y2K, Kathy and I had quite a sum of money saved, and with Y2K, we promptly lost it all. So it became more difficult for us to do what comes natural to us, because I believe Kathy and I both have the spiritual gift of giving. But it's not just of our tangible things. It's of time, talent, skills, spiritual gift mix, and from the treasure that our Lord has provided. And with that, he has blessed our daughter, Mindy. Mindy became a nurse for many years, and she was a blessing in the lives of people that she would come alongside as part of a healing community of doctors and so forth. She was a blessing to doctors that she worked with. They would ask for her before they would ask for another nurse. And the blessing there is that she was being used in such a wonderful way, and we were hearing about it, not from her. She's a very humble gal. But other people would be telling us. And so Kathy and I are getting blessed because of Mindy being a blessing. Julie, likewise. You know, when she graduated from SDSU, she became a teacher, and she continued in her studies, and she got her master's and became a school counselor. And then she proceeded up the ranks in the school in the district's administration. And now she's taking care of every single one of the foster kids that attend that particular school system. She is there to be their advocate and to watch over them and to take care of them. And as she learns of complaint and rules being broken or laws being broken, she is their advocate. She has become a wonderful blessing, not only to her own five children, ages 22, almost 23, to age 4. But again, it's wonderful to see the blessing that takes place. We hear about these things through her life. And then, as you know, with Ronnie, before our Lord took him home in October, he had been a prodigal for a long time. But the Lord brought him back. And what a joy that was to be able to share that with you at his homegoing celebration. So do you lend generously? Have you ever wondered if you're godly or not? Without being, you know, arrogant, have you ever wondered if you're godly? Do you lend generously? Do you sense Abba being good to you and your children? Do you sense that? I'm sure you do. We have another family in our church. You know who they are, but I'm not going to mention names. I'm not even giving initials. And for those of you who are new with us, when I say, I'm going to mention to you that it was somebody and their initials are Pastor Eugene. I'm truly not. But I want to thank the Lord Jesus publicly, as I'm sure they have, because this family has been with us for a long time. And they're generous. They're generous. And it is obvious that the Lord has blessed them. The father in this family, he has a very, very, very good job. And the blessing, besides having a good job, is allowing a mother of three, to be able to stay home and be a woman who takes care of her home and makes her home into a very comfortable place for her children and for her husband. Not all wives are allowed that wonderful blessing to be able to do that. Like Annette, she's been a single mom basically all the years I've known her, 30 plus years. She's been my secretary. I'm not talking about her. If I talk about her, I'll give the initials. This family that I'm talking about, there is blessing. Do you? Some people may not take it as such because maybe it's commonplace. But I don't see that as being commonplace at all. A great job and being able to be a stay-at-home mom. And on top of that, then they have three children. What a blessing. Not that they were always a blessing. I know all three kids. But, you know, they're a blessing. And the eldest one has gone on and has been given great skills, great talents, works in television and stuff like that, has a very good job. Married to a faithful woman that is his wife. Children are on the way. You have another child, grew up, went into the military, served with distinction, came home whole. All his body parts. Came home having lost none of his mental capacities. And has been given a tremendous job that he has hoped for all of his young life. Blessings, blessings, because of a generous mother and father. They have picked up these attributes. The third child also served with distinction in the military, did very well, looked up to, came home, didn't look up to him just because he's really tall. But looked up to him, he's come home, he has a job he enjoys at the moment, but he also came home with his mind intact, having served during this particular season in the military and all that's going on. You see, children are being blessed, and good things are happening to these families in our church family because they are imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been generous with their time, their talent, and their skills and their treasure. Reward number three. Father God promises to bless your work and your business. Father God promises to bless your work and your business. Would you say that aloud with me? Father God promises to bless your work and your business. He blesses your obedience. Obedience is another word for love. Being obedient to Him. He has asked us to be holy as He is holy. He has asked us to imitate His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, He likes to reward His kids. He's a marvelous parent. He is our example, ultimately, in parenting. So Father God promises to bless your work and your business. Exodus 23, verse 19, the beginning of that verse says, "The best of the first fruits of your ground, you shall," not that you might, not that you could. He says, "You shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." Now, when Moses was sharing this with the people of Israel at the time, the majority of the people were all involved in agriculture. They are farmers by and large. Oh, yes, we have the masons and the bricklayers and the people that are going to share the things that they need to be farmers and that sort of thing. But first fruits, not the stuff that you have left over at the end of the month. Not the stuff that you've broken and now are willing to give it away. He says, the best of the first fruits of your ground, you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. And this is a command from our wonderful Father through Moses for you and I to hear today in 2022. He wants us to perform this, but this is something that the American church has chosen in large part to turn their back on. America still gives to all charities, to all churches, all religious organizations, 2% of their income. Only 2%. That does not sound to me, for Christians at any rate, and I love, you know, I came to faith in a Baptist church, and they're so proud of putting even in their literature that their members are to give 10% of their income. It's not theirs, it's his. But they're to give 10%, and those Baptists that give 10%, they are really good. Do you understand that they only took 2/3 of what the Jewish person was supposed to give in the Old Testament? The Jews were to give twice a year, 2 10% tithes. That's 20%. And then every third year, a third tithe. So they were to be giving 23% a year is what they were supposed to be giving. The Baptists missed the mark. How many of us have missed the mark? The best of the first fruits of your ground you should bring into the house of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 8, The Lord will command the blessings on you. If you want to put your name in there, you should. The Lord will command the blessings on Ron. He will command the blessings on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. He's going to command blessings upon you. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Again, our Heavenly Father, he just enjoys blessing his kids, especially when they're obedient. Did you notice what he did in the past for his kids that were obedient? Those passages of the scripture are just crystal clear. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Solomon, he says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor him. Honor him. And with the first fruits, there it is again. Not the last fruits, not the stuff that's left over in the middle of the week when you're thinking, I might have more to give, maybe not, because, you know, the wife is going to want to go out to dinner tonight. By the way, wives are not objects. I learned that my first week as a new husband. I addressed somebody and said, the wife. And Kathy immediately said, I'm not an object. I am your wife. I am a person. And she is correct. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then, if you do this, he's saying, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Again, illustrations to an agricultural society. Almost everyone was a farmer in Israel during these times. Barns and vats represent a person's investment and livelihood. And Abba promised to bless the businesses of people who honor him with their wealth. Say with me aloud, Abba promises good things will happen to me. Abba promises good things will happen to me. Now say with me, Abba promises to bless my work, my business, and my career. God promises to bless my work, business, and career. If I honor him with my wealth, he will bless your ministries so long as we demonstrate obedience in the things that he has shared with us. And it's not just talking about money. He's talking about being generous with all of our life, with other people, as Jesus was and he is with us. As you think about it, you know, normally I put in action steps after every point. I don't really need to put in action steps, do I? Because they're self-declared within the passages that we've been reading, aren't they? Yes. The fourth reward. Father God promises you'll be happier. Ooh, I like that one. Father God promises I'll be happier. Say that with me. Father God promises I'll be happier. Psalm 37, verse 21. The wicked borrow, but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. Our Lord blesses the generous. He blesses the righteous. We have been made righteous because of what Jesus accomplished upon the cross. And in our confession and repentance of sin and having received him into our lives, we've become part of God's family. We have become righteous, and we are to be generous as he is. Acts 20, verse 35. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. We must help those who are weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Don't remember the words of Ron. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that are here because Luke was given these words by God the Holy Spirit to remind the church throughout the ages and to remind GHCC this morning. He says here that we are to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever taken that sentence, that statement by our Lord Jesus, and looked it up in the Gospels to find it where he actually said that? You won't find it in there. We find it here in the Word of God. It's there. He said it. But the reason we still have it is that Luke was given it by God the Holy Spirit. And the rest of the church had heard it through oral tradition passed down through the years and now many years to you and I, and written down in the book of Acts for us. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And it is. Those of you who have become the givers, those of you who have been very generous with all of your life and all of the things in your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I want to thank you who came alongside Kathy and me and are all of us having to say goodbye to Ronnie. You came alongside and you were a blessing to us. You gave us your time. Some of you had to fix things for us, and you used your talent, and you came and you did that. I was pretty messed up there for a little while and losing my boy. Others of you, you gave out of the finances the Lord provided you, because we had no idea that Ronnie was going to be departing and had not saved money for funeral costs and things like that. But you sweet folks, you came alongside Kathy and me. You came alongside my daughters, and you loved on us. Almost every one of you said, I don't know what to say. And as I said shortly after all that, there is nothing to say. There's nothing you can say. And there's really nothing you can do. But your presence, I'm not talking about things wrapped up in gift wrap, your presence in our lives, your generosity was such a blessing. Such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I honestly didn't believe this verse here when I was a much younger disciple of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I was in that mode where it was more blessed. You give to me. Christmas, I want presents. You know. But as I matured as a disciple, and learning that a disciple is not just someone who sits at the feet of the discipler and listens, but The disciple not only listens and takes notes, but as I encourage you each Sunday, with action steps. You listen to your discipler and then you go out and do what you see him or her doing. You go out and do what you hear them teaching. And in this case, we're talking about the Lord Jesus and the living, active Word of God. Maturity, help me realize that there is more happiness in being generous. So Father God promises good things will happen to you who are generous. And to you who are generous, Father God promises your children, and I believe your grandchildren, and your nieces and your nephews will be blessed. Father God also promises you who are generous that he will bless your work and your career and your business. Father God promises you're going to be happier. Get it? Good. Well, this is where we're going to stop. I'm going to pick up next time with Father God promises, and I'll tell you what he promises you next, the week after next. But bring the unchurched, will you? Bring those who have been churched and have yet to receive the Lord Jesus. Bring those who have been hurt. Yes, there are churches that hurt people. You bring them that we might share with them the good news of the risen Christ. Abba, we want to thank you so much again for this morning. We thank you, Father, for all those that gathered early and found themselves as intercessors, crying out to you on behalf of other people, being generous in their prayers concerning others. Father, we thank you for those who were generous and have been working in the Family Life Center in preparing a wonderful party. A wonderful party for Megan and the coming of her daughter and Will's daughter, Father. We thank you for these people that give of themselves and their time, their talent. And for those that have come alongside and offered up treasure for this beautiful Christian party, for this beautiful gift that you are giving to the entire Wright family, but especially to Will and Megan. Father, thank you for this morning's message about generosity and reminding us of the tremendous generosity you offer towards us. To think that we are your prized possessions, to think that you have placed us in a station, the stand, that we can give praise and glory to you as priests of the Most High God. And that you have reserved a place for us, not only in heaven, but in that holy nation that is yours. Ah, Father, to be a daughter or a son of yours is such a grace, blessing. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And it's in Christ, your wonderful Son's name, we thank you. Amen.